Oh, giver, where have you gone? Oh, beloved, where have you gone? This is the Bhajan Datta Ji Kite Gyo on page 108. Oh, gardener, after decorating the garden, this garden, with your own hands, after planting these saplings, you should not have left us. Oh, protector, had we known you would take so much time, we would have gone with you. Why would we endure so much pain? Now the ship of the world is wavering. Who can take it across to the other shore except you, the giver of happiness? Hearing the plea of Ajayb, come and remove the pain of the suffering ones. O owner of the Sangha, make us have the beautiful darshan. O giver, where have you gone? O beloved, where have you gone? Bhajan of Sanchi on page 108.
Datta ji kite gyo hari tamave kite gyo
datta ji kite gyo hari tamave kite gyo
ati apani bhagas jake ape tu e bhute lake
ati apani bhagas jake ape tu
Chada jana sanu maliave
nahi si chada jana sanu maliave
kite gya datta ji kite gyo hari tamave kite gyo datta ji kite gyo hari tamave kite Taje hunda nala hi jande kanu ede dukkha de utande
Taje hunda nala hi jande kanu
Take
me on, Paritamave.
ta dole jagada beda bane lave hoda hun keda
unata dole jagada beda bane lave hoda hun keda
tere ba Jokona bachave,
tere ba Jokona bachave,
kusha haliave,
ki degio dataji.
Suffering ones. Oh, owner of the Sangat, make us have the beautiful darshan. This is chapter 2 of Master Kripal's book on prayer. Very brief discussion of prayer instinctive in man. And the Master says, prayer is instinctive with man, and no one can do without prayer at one stage or another, whatever form it may take. The faithful and the faithless, a mu'min and a kafir, a man of God and a man who has no belief in God, all pray, each one, of course, in his own particular way. The need for prayer generally arises when one finds himself in distress, in calamity, or in the grip of some devastating disease, or when he desires satisfaction of some unusual physical and spiritual need which he cannot otherwise fulfill. or when he wants to combat forces of adversity or darkness. In such circumstances, he feels that by his own unaided efforts, he cannot secure satisfaction of his wants, and in utter helplessness, he seeks strength in prayer. In everyday life, we see a student seeking the aid of a teacher in the solution of some difficult problems, a patient in illness, that of a physician, an employee, that of his employer, and so on. All these are prayers in varying degrees and forms. Again, for the satisfaction of his daily needs, a child looks up to his parents, a wife to her husband, etc. In all trying circumstances, prayer is the last weapon in our armory. Where all human efforts fail, prayer succeeds. More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. For what are men better than sheep or goat that nourish a blind life within the brain, if, knowing God, they lift not their hands in prayer, both for themselves and those they call friends? Tennyson. When prayer is the salt of life, we cannot do without it. But whom do we pray to? The answer naturally is to the one supreme God, or the God-man in whom his power resides and through whom it works in the world. All religions are in agreement on the point that prayer at the seat of the soul draws out all the latent powers of Godhood within, and one can achieve spiritual beatitude through it. It is a connecting link between the Creator and His creation, between God and man. It is a supporting staff in the hands of a spiritual aspirant, and a pilgrim soul cannot do without it, right from the beginning to the end of the journey, for it saves one from many a pitfall on the way and transforms the mind through and through, until it shines forth and begins to reflect the light of the soul. Through his grace, the osprey turns into a royal swan. O Nanak, he may make a cygnet of a crow. Guru Nanak. And this is a continuation. A few weeks ago, we read the first part of Master Kripal's discourse, The Birthright to Become God, which is chapter 2 of The Coming Spiritual Revolution. And this talk was given at the Friends Meeting House in Washington, D.C. on January 19th, 1964 at 4 p.m. And I'm going to pick up where we left off, except I will go back a couple of paragraphs for continuity's sake. Master says, who are we? We are children of light under the control of mind and the outgoing faculties. We are so identified with the body and the outside things that we have forgotten our own selves. What to speak of that great power which is controlling each one of us in the human body? Otherwise, we could have run away out of the body. We cannot. There are two open eyes, two open ears, two open nostrils, the open mouth, but we cannot run away out of the body. That is because of the controlling power within us. What is the function of a master? And what is he? He is a man like you, of course, outwardly. He has the same two eyes, two ears, two hands, two feet, He talks like you. He also eats to maintain the body. He does other functions on the worldly level too, but he is conscious of his divine nature. He is a conscious co-worker with the divine plan, although he works at the level of men to help them as a man. So this is what we have to overcome. Our schools of thought or religions were made for the purpose of solving this mystery of life, to be out of these entanglements or obliviousness altogether. We do not know who we are. A little child knows better than we. If you ask him who he is, he opens his eyes, opens his mouth. He feels it somewhere in here. As he grows older in years and you ask him, he says, "I am Mr. Such and Such." Further, he says, "I am a Christian, I am a Hindu, I am a Mohammedan." Again, further, he says, "I am American, I am French, I am German, I am Indian." Who is he? He is a conscious being. That we have forgotten. We go so far away from our own selves that we forget our own selves. Masters come to tell us this. They address us either as a man from the level of man, "Oh man, awake," or from the level of the soul, the conscious being, "Oh children of light, awake. You are asleep. Being under the control of mind, your attention is diffused into the world and identified with it. You are awakened outside and are asleep from within. The God power is already within you, waiting for you. Your true home is the true home of your Father, that is, of all consciousness and all wisdom. Why are you stuck fast in this material world, in the outside things? These are only temporarily given to you. The body, being made of matter, is changing every moment of life. This is the golden opportunity which has been given to us to realize ourselves, to know ourselves, and to know the controlling power which is controlling us in the body and is controlling the entire universe." All masters say that, of course, in their own language, which was prevalent at the time they came. By a parallel study of religions, you will find this to be so. Religions were made to liberate us from all these outer entanglements, to know ourselves and to know God. These were means to the end. The school and college from which many students have been graduated and get degrees is creditable. But we have joined them and forgotten the goal. We simply identify ourselves as belonging to one religion or the other, or one country or the other. There have been religious wars and patriotic wars in which thousands and millions were killed and are being killed. When masters come, they give us teachings from the universal level. They consider all to be children of God, brothers and sisters in God, because all are maintained and controlled by that higher power. This is the true state of affairs we are in. To remain in whatever religion you are in is a blessing, but not to attain or to achieve this lost godhood means you are still bound. For that purpose, masters tell us what to do. The story goes in the Hindu scriptures that there was a very learned pundit or minister who was a Hindu. He was the minister to a king called King Parikshit. He used to read out the scriptures day after day, every morning in the court. And the scriptures say, those who hear the scriptures and act are liberated. Liberation is not something to be had after death, but it is to be known now whether you are liberated or not. So those scriptures were read over so many times, from day to day, month to month. One day King Parikshit sat down and thought, well, I have read in the scriptures, whoever hears these scriptures is liberated once and for all, but I am bound. The mind is very much like a magistrate. It tells you why you are bound. If you leave it to him, it is just true. And I would point out, you know, these couple of sentences, the mind is very much like a magistrate. It tells you why you are bound. If you leave it to him, it is just true. You know, they contain, there is a whole universe of thought in those two sentences. The mind tells us we are bound, and if we leave it to him, it's true. But if we don't, it isn't. To me, that has always been a mind blower. He told the minister, well, look here, I have heard these scriptures so many times. Again, I give you a chance to read the whole scripture from one end to the other. And after that, if I am not liberated, you will be put to death. What happened? In 7 days, the entire scriptures were read over. And on the last day, the minister came home and lay down in despair. Tomorrow is the day of my death. His daughter was very wise. Sometimes daughters are very wise, and I would have to say that as the father of a very wise daughter, I agree with that statement. She asked her father, why are you so sad? Well, dear daughter, I am to be put to death tomorrow. Why? Because it is laid down in the scriptures, whoever reads these scriptures and follows them, they naturally are liberated. But I know the king is not liberated, nor am I liberated. Well, I must be put to death tomorrow. There's no escape from it. His daughter told him, all right, I will go to the king tomorrow morning and just question him. She went there the next morning, and the king asked, why have you come? Daughter, well, I have come to reply to the question that you put to my father. What? But not here. Let us go to the wilderness, all alone, you and I. And she also sent for her father and got two ropes. She tied the king to one tree and her own father to another. Both were bound to a tree. She came to her father and said, Father, will you kindly unbind the king over there? He said, I am bound already. How can I? Then she went to the king. Well, king, would you kindly unbind my father? Oh, foolish girl, don't you think I am bound? How can a bound man unbind the other one? And that was all she wanted, you see. This is what is happening. We are bound hand and foot by the outgoing faculties. We do not know how to be liberated ourselves. How can we liberate others? This is a practical question of unbinding oneself. To read the scriptures is not sufficient, mind that. To hear the scriptures is also not sufficient. There must be somebody who can practically demonstrate how to withdraw from the outside for a while, how to rise above these shackles of outgoing faculties, how to open our inner eye and give us some contact within. Once we do it, again and again, by regular practice, we will succeed. If at first you don't succeed, then try again. This is what the master does. To give a lecture, to tell you how to say prayers, how to perform certain rites and rituals that any man can do after a little training, how to act and pose, how to laugh, how to cry. No, this is a practical question. He who knows it, who has that experience, is competent to give it. He will give you some experience to start with. It may be little or more. And what is wanted that he wants? To be still, physically and intellectually. God cannot be known by the outgoing faculties, by the intellect or the vital airs called the pranas. He can be known only by the soul. Like alone can know the like. When is the soul liberated? When it is analyzed from mind and the outgoing faculties. This is a practical question. Now it appeals to you intellectually. But how do we do it? The reading of scriptures, saying of prayers, performing of certain rites and rituals, all relate to the outgoing faculties. But this is something that starts when you rise above the outgoing faculties. You also cannot do it with the mind and the intellect. You cannot do it unless you are intellectually still. You might draw an inference to come to some conclusion, but still the mind is intellectually working. We must be intellectually still too. Then a sort of transport arises to the soul, and it is unbound. This is all we have to do. When someone comes to the master, what does he do? All these 10 servants of the outgoing faculties, 5 of audition, sight, smell, taste, and touch, working through the sense organs of the ears, eyes, nose, tongue, and skin, are to be controlled. If these are controlled, then the house will be set in order. Every servant will do his job. All right, you clean the rooms, you set the chairs in order, you light the candle. Everything will be all right. This is the first thing to be done. Those who are attached, who are given up to the outside enjoyments or pleasures, may be good, excuse me, or bad, are bound. Lord Krishna said, good actions and bad actions are both binding, like chains of gold or chains of iron. This is the practical first thing that we have at the feet of the master. He gives you the way to withdraw from the outside and rise above body consciousness for a while. One cannot be an M.A. in one day. Rome is not built in a day. But once you get something, by regular practice and by obeying his orders, you will naturally become adept. A man who today is reading in the M.A. class was once reading in the primary class. If those who are now reading in the primary class are given the same help and guidance, they too can reach the M.A. class. That is why it is said, every saint has his past and every sinner a future. Man can change. Even the dacoits can become saints. Valmiki was a dacoit. He became a saint. He related the story of the Ramayana 18,000 years before it actually happened. My point is that there is hope for everybody. There is nothing to be disheartened about. But we have to develop whatever experience is given without the intervention of the outgoing faculties and intellect. It does not mean you should not use your intellect. When you understand a thing, then do it. Let not the mind meddle into it. Because if your mind is clutching, seeing here and there, and drawing inferences, the intellect is working. And until you are intellectually still, you cannot take a step further. This is the first thing we have to do. To do it, you are advised to keep a diary for self-introspection. Do you now realize the necessity of the diary? But how many of you are keeping diaries, maintaining the diary daily? I'm afraid that it may not be 10%. That is why, even if we do get something, we do not progress wonderfully. We must. This is the first thing we learn at the feet of a master. What is the difference between a master and an average man? He is a man, just as a doctor is a man, like us. But the doctor knows by anatomy how the system works, how diseases arise, and how they can be cured. Similarly, this is a disease from which we are suffering. He who is adept and competent, who himself goes beyond these bounds and can help others to raise themselves up, is called a master. That is the God in him. Do you know who can give you a contact with God? No son of man can do it. It is God absolute which came into expression. When he came down, he gave teachings of the higher way because he had seen it. He knows the way, and in the human body he is conscious of it. That is the difference between an average man and a master. When you come to such a master, this is the first thing to be done. And here we lack, I tell you. We are given some experience, but we don't live up to it. Dragged away by the outside pleasures, knowing that God is within us, the priceless jewel, the priceless pearl, we cannot leave this dross of the outside things. Tagore, a poet of international fame, says, "O God, I see there is a great wealth in you. Why cannot I throw away the filth of the dross of this body?" Knowing fully well, we do realize the truth intellectually. What do the masters say? God first and the world next. And what do we say? The world first and maybe God afterwards. Truly speaking, we are not after God, we are after the world. We pray to God, why? Most of us want worldly things. Were that not within the competency of God to provide them, nobody would have thought of God. A weaker man prays before some stronger person. Whatever goes out from the heart of our hearts, he hears. He is there already. He is watching our every action. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. This is what all the masters said. This is the first thing. I have been laying much stress on that very point. I have been requesting and directing. I have been begging of you people through my circulars and verbal talks too. And still, if you do not do it, we should. That is the first thing. What will happen? Although your vision is through your open eyes, you will have so much control over your sight that while your eyes are open, you do not see. This we can develop. Newton was sitting by a roadside solving certain mathematical problems. He was so absorbed in these problems that although a band passed by him playing, he did not hear it. Why? Until this attention, which is the outcome of our soul, is with the outgoing faculties do not work. Somebody approached and asked him, "Well, Newton, has any band passed by this way?" "No," he answered, "I don't know." You might have had an experience of your own lives of having sat very much absorbed in some thought. And when somebody called you, you did not hear it. If somebody comes and sits by you while you are absorbed, you don't feel who has come and gone. This is the training of the attention. which is called Surat Yoga. When the attention, the Surat, is set, you might be sitting with hundreds of people and still be all alone. This is what Emerson says. When he wanted all loneliness, he went to an inn where hundreds came and went. This was because he had no concern with anybody. He was absorbed in his own thoughts. If you think that you should leave the world and go to the wilderness, there also you have animals and trees, and your attention is drawn outside. The only thing required is to control all the outgoing faculties. And how to do it, you can learn from those who have done it, and by following their instructions. You might have experienced in your own life that when you are cut off from everything outside, you feel a sort of rest and peace, not every day, but at times. When you are quite absorbed and cut off from everything, you feel a sense of pleasure, rest, bliss, and peace. Naturally, what happens? We are after having that peace prolonged. Naturally, we want that. We are children of light, as I told you. Like a candle's flame, our source is up. Every man wants to go up. If you turn its face downward, even then it will go up. Our soul is of God, of light. It is bound by the outgoing faculties in the body. When it is liberated, it will go up. This is but natural. Then naturally true rest comes. How? When we withdraw our attention from outside and enter the laboratory of the human body. When you enter an air-conditioned room after having been in the burning rays of the sun, how rested you feel. It is something like that. You feel at rest. You have some glimpses when Master comes. Not only does he show you how to withdraw from outside and enter this laboratory of the human body, here he also shows you how to rise above the senses and have some experience of the beyond. When there is no questioning of the mind, when the intellect is at rest, that truth naturally becomes effulgent, and you see light. If you are questioning why this is so, why that is not so, why that has not come, then your mind is not still. It has to be stilled. What you feel at that time is the experience of God in the form of light and sound. The Master first gives you an experience of how to rise above this iron curtain of the human body. Then, as you practice day to day, you rise above the astral body, the causal body, and the supercausal body. Day to day, you experience more bliss and joy. Saint Tulsidas says that when he rose above body consciousness and reached the causal plane and had an experience of bliss and joy, he thought this is the most and highest of all. But after he had transcended the causal plane into the supercausal and beyond, he said, the causal plane is perhaps only a washroom compared to this. Those who have tasted that bliss are here in the world, but they are bound. Masters go under the orders of God. They want to go back. When any of us also has some experience like that, we wish to go in there. Why don't we want to go in there now? Because we find joy and bliss and happiness in outside things. And moreover, we have never cared to analyze, to go into the matter of what it is that gives us bliss in the outside things. We are conscious beings. How can a conscious being have bliss or joy or happiness in material things? But we do feel it. How? Why? We are bliss personified. God is all bliss all happiness and all joy. And this bliss is also innate in us. So long as we are identified with something, we reflect our own happiness in that thing. When that thing is withdrawn from us, or we are made to withdraw from it, we feel unhappiness. So we should identify ourselves with something which is not changing, and that is God alone. Any happiness we feel with outside things is not really lying in those things, but in our own selves. It is reflected in things so long as we are identified with them. And we will continue in the future. And I want to conclude the reading with a brief letter of Baba Sawan Singh. This is letter number 113, Spiritual Gems. He says, I am glad to learn that you are devoting some time daily to meditation and concentration. There is no harm in discussing the principles of Sant Mat with those who are sincere seekers, but in your own interest, please do not divulge what you have learnt at the time of initiation. If any person becomes interested in the science and asks for initiation, you may please recommend his case to me if you consider him suitable. He who imparts the secret takes upon himself the karmic load of others. I shall be glad to know that you are living happily and in circumstances congenial to your peace of mind and doing bhajan, for it is bhajan alone that counts in the long run. All other activities, no matter how charitable and good-intentioned, and of service to humanity, bring us back to this physical plane. The master and the sound current, and they are really one, not two, are our companions here and hereafter. Hence, their companionship should be cultivated, even if everything else has to be sacrificed. Best effort should be put forth to go in and develop complete concentration, so that the master and the sound current become living realities. If one now wishes to meet a sage who has played his part here in the old past, one will have to go within himself and reach the stage where the sage resides. And there is no going within except with the help of a living master and the practice of the sound current. I wish that you go within now and meet your Lord Jesus and redeem your pledged word to the church to whose allegiance you are sworn for this life. It is good that you have entrusted your family affairs to the care of the Master and made your mind easy. With love and faith, go within and complete your concentration. With the increase in concentration, the willpower will go strong, and you will be able to function without being perturbed by the family and worldly ups and downs. When we sit in bhajan and direct our attention inward, the Creator within marks our presence, hears our prayer, and blesses us. And that, of course, elsewhere, Sawan Singh is making the same point, used the analogy of a channel that is opened between us and Sach Khand when we sit in meditation with our attention completely within. And that is true even if we only sit for a few minutes, which is why it is important to sit sometime every day. Even if we can't sit for very long, it's infinitely better to sit for a few minutes than for no minutes. All right, we'll hear the tape.
Paramatma. ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਸਭ ਤੋਂ ਵੱਡਾ ਹੈ, ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਸਭ ਦਾ ਦਾਤਾ ਹੈ, ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਸਭ ਦਾ ਬਾਦਸ਼ਾਹ ਹੈ। ਲੇਕਿਨ ਉਸ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਨੂੰ ਕੌਣ ਪ੍ਰਾਪਤ ਕਰ ਸਕਦਾ ਹੈ? ਜਿਹਨੂੰ ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਦਿਆ ਕਰੇ, ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਜੀ ਨੂੰ ਟਿੱਕ ਲੇ ਕਿ ਮੈਂ ਇਸ ਨੂੰ ਦੇਣਾ ਹੈ।
ਗੋਡ ਇਜ਼ ਗ੍ਰੇਟਰ ਦੈਨ ਆਲ, ਗੋਡ ਇਜ਼ ਅਬਵ ਆਲ, ਗੋਡ ਇਜ਼ ਦ ਗਿਵਰ, ਗੋਡ ਇਜ਼ ਦ ਡੋਨਰ, ਗੋਡ ਇਜ਼ ਐਵਰੀਵੇਅਰ, ਬਟ ਹੂ ਕੈਨ ਮੈਨੀਫੈਸਟ ਸੱਚ ਗੋਡ ਵਿਦਇਨ ਹਿਮ? ਓਨਲੀ ਦੋਜ਼ ਹੂ ਹੈਵ ਗ੍ਰੇਸ ਆਫ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਐਂਡ ਓਨਲੀ ਦੋਜ਼ ਹੂ ਆਰ ਚੋਜ਼ਨ ਬਾਈ ਮਾਸਟਰ, ਵੈਨ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਡਿਸਾਈਡਸ ਦੈਟ ਹੀ ਸ਼ੁੱਡ ਹੈਵ ਦ ਕੰਪਲੀਟ ਨੌਲੇਜ ਆਫ ਗੋਡ, ਗੋਡ ਸ਼ੁੱਡ ਬੀ ਮੈਨੀਫੈਸਟਡ ਇਨ ਹਿਮ, ਓਨਲੀ ਸੱਚ ਅ ਪਰਸਨ ਕੈਨ ਮੈਨੀਫੈਸਟ ਗੋਡ ਵਿਦਇਨ ਹਿਮ, ਅਦਰਵਾਈਜ਼ ਨੋਬਡੀ ਐਲਸ ਕੈਨ ਡੂ ਦੈਟ।
ਸੋ ਸਤਿਗੁਰ ਜੀ ਸੱਚ ਧਿਆਇਂਦਾ, ਸੱਚ ਸੱਚਾ ਸਤਿਗੁਰ ਕੇ।
ਗੁਰੂ ਰਾਮਦਾਸ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਕਿ ਮੈਂ ਪਹਿਲਾਂ ਹੀ ਕਿਹਾ ਸੀ ਕਿ ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਵਿੱਚ ਇਹੀ ਵੱਡੀ ਵਡਿਆਈ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਉਹ ਨਾਮ ਦੀ ਕਮਾਈ ਕਰਦਾ, ਨਾਮ ਉਹਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਪ੍ਰਗਟ ਹੈ। ਇਸ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਆਪ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਨਾਮ ਦੀ ਕਮਾਈ ਕਰਕੇ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਔਰ ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਦੋਨੇ ਇੱਕ ਹੋ।
Guru Ramdas said that earlier also I said that this is the greatness of the master, that within the master Naam is manifested, God is manifested. And now also I said that by doing the meditation of Naam, both master and God became one.
Soi Satgure Purkh Hai Yen Panje Du
ਹੁਣ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਉਹੀ ਹੈ ਜਿਹਨੇ ਅਭਿਆਸ ਕਰਕੇ ਕਾਮ ਕ੍ਰੋਧ ਲੋਭ ਮੋਹ ਹੰਕਾਰ ਦੇ ਉੱਤੇ ਕਾਬੂ ਪਾਇਆ ਹੈ।
Now he said that he is the Sadguru or the true master who has controlled lust, anger, greed, attachment and egoism by meditating on Shabd Naam.
ਜਿਹਨੇ ਕਦੇ ਅਭਿਆਸ ਹੀ ਨਹੀਂ ਕੀਤਾ, ਭਜਨ ਹੀ ਨਹੀਂ ਕੀਤਾ ਗਾ, ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਕਿ ਉਹ ਜੇ ਲੋਕਾਂ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਇਹ ਕਹਿੰਦਾ ਕਿ ਮੈਂ ਗੁਰੂ ਹੈ ਜਾਂ ਮੈਂ ਸੰਤ ਹੈ ਜਾਂ ਮੈਂ ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਹੈ, ਉਹ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਉਹ ਝੂਠ ਬੋਲਦਾ ਹੈ।
He says that those who have not done any meditation, but still they tell people that, still he tells people that I am Master, I am Sadguru, always understand that he is lying.
Kyunki is vaste aap kehnde hai ki woh andron bhi fika hai, bahron bhi fika hai.
And such a person is tasteless from within and from outside also.
Oye bhule kise nam paavni
ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਜੋ ਪ੍ਰੇਮੀ ਆਤਮਾ ਹੈ ਐਸਿਆਂ ਤੋਂ ਬਚ ਕੇ ਰਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਉਹ ਤਾਂ ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਤੋਂ ਚੁੱਕੇ ਹੋਏ ਹੈ, ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਦਾ ਹੁਕਮ ਨਹੀਂ ਮੰਨਿਆ। ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਦਾ ਹੁਕਮ ਕੀ ਹੈ? ਭਜਨ ਸਿਮਰਨ ਕਰਨਾ, ਆਪਣੀ ਆਤਮਾ ਦੇ ਉੱਤੇ ਰਹਿਮ ਕਰਨਾ, ਕਾਮ ਕ੍ਰੋਧ ਲੋਭ ਮੋਹ ਹੰਕਾਰ ਤੋਂ ਬਚਣਾ।
Now he said that the dear souls or the loving souls always remain away from such people because these people are thrown away by the master because they didn't obey the commandments of the master. What was the commandment of the master? Master told us to do the meditation of Naam and to rise all the anger and all these passions. And those who don't do that, those who don't obey the commandments of the master, they are not appreciated anywhere. And always the loving souls, the dear souls, those who love the master, they always remain away from such people.
Kabir Sahib kehnde hai, agra ko upadesh te mukh mein par hai ret, raas barani raakh te khaya karta the.
Kabir Sahib said that those who teach others without teaching themselves first, sand will come into their mouth, and when they are taking care of other people's field, and if their own courtyard is on fire, they are foolish.
Hare kab kam sab khet hai, hare aap kirsani
ਖੇਤ ਹੈ, ਹਰ ਇੱਕ ਨੂੰ ਇੱਥੇ ਕਿਰਸਾਨੀ ਕਰਨ ਲਾਇਆ ਹੋਇਆ ਹੈ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਗੁਰਮੁਖ ਜਿਹੜੇ ਲੋਕ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਨਾਮ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਉੱਤੇ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦੀ ਬਖਸ਼ਿਸ਼ ਹੁੰਦੀ ਹੈ, ਇਸ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਨਾਮ ਦਾ ਬੋਹਲ ਇਕੱਠਾ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ। ਜਿਹੜੇ ਮਨਮੁੱਖ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਲਾਹਾ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਮੂਲ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਉਹ ਵੀ ਗੁਆ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੈ, ਬਹੁਤ ਦਾਣਿਆਂ ਦਾ ਇਕੱਠਾ ਮਤਲਬ
This world is like a farm of God, and God is making everyone do farming in this. The Gurumukhs, they sow and they grow and they collect the wealth of Naam, whereas the Manmukhs, whatever capital they have been given, they misuse that and they even lose that, and when they go back to God, they are empty-handed.
ਸਭ ਕੋ ਬੀਜੇ ਆਪਣੇ ਭਲੇ ਨੂੰ ਹਰ ਪਾਵੇ ਸੋ ਖੇਤ ਮਾਇਆ ਗੁਰ ਸਿੱਖੀ ਹਰ ਅੰਮ੍ਰਿਤ ਬੀਜਿਆ
ਸੰਸਾਰ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਆ ਕੇ ਹਰ ਧਰਮ ਆਪਣੇ ਭਲੇ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਸ਼ੁਭ ਕਰਮ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਬਾਹਰਲੇ ਕਰਮ ਕਾਂਡ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਉਹ ਕਿਸੇ ਨੂੰ ਕੁਛ ਮਿਲਦਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਗਾ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਪ੍ਰੇਮੀ ਆਤਮਾ ਸਤਿਗੁਰਾਂ ਪਾਸ ਆਉਂਦੀਆਂ ਹੈ, ਉਹ ਸਤਿਗੁਰਾਂ ਦੇ ਕਹਿਣ ਦੇ ਮੁਤਾਬਕ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਨਾਮ ਦੀ ਕਮਾਈ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ। ਸ਼ਬਦ ਨਾਮ ਤੋਂ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦਾ ਕੀ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਉਪਜਦਾ ਹੈ, ਉਹ ਉੱਥੋਂ ਅੰਮ੍ਰਿਤ ਜਿਹੜੀ ਖੇਤੀ ਉਹ ਬੀਜਦੇ ਹੈ, ਰੋਜ਼ ਦਾ ਅਭਿਆਸ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ ਖੇਤੀ ਦਾ ਬੀਜਣਾ ਹੈ, ਔਰ ਉਸਨੂੰ ਫਲ ਕੀ ਲੱਗਦਾ ਹੈ ਅੰਮ੍ਰਿਤ ਦਾ ਲੱਗਦਾ ਹੈ, ਔਰ ਅੰਮ੍ਰਿਤ ਉਹ ਵਸਤੂ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਜਿਸ ਨੂੰ ਪੀਣ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਅਸੀਂ ਅਮਰਤ ਹੋ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੈ, ਸਾਡੀ ਆਤਮਾ ਉਸਦਾ ਸਵਾਦ ਚੱਖ ਕੇ ਮਨ ਵਿਸ਼ੇ ਪਕਾਰਾਂ ਤੋਂ ਉਚਾਟ ਹੋ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੈ, ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਜਦ ਉਹ ਰਸ ਆਵੇ ਤਦ ਇਹ ਨਾ ਰਹਾਵੇ ਦੁਨੀਆਂ ਦੇ ਰਸ ਆਪਣੇ ਆਪ ਹੀ ਫਿੱਕੇ ਲੱਗਣ ਲੱਗ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੈ।
Since everybody is doing the farming, that is why those who are obeying their minds, they involve themselves in the worldly pleasures, whereas those who are doing the farming of Naam, because the daily meditation which we do is like doing the farming. And what do we harvest when we farm, or when we work on the Naam? We get the nectar. Nectar is that thing by drinking which we become immortal. So he says that those who do the devotion of Lord, they harvest the nectar and they drink it and they become immortal and they become free from the pains of birth and death.
ਸਾਨੂੰ ਪਤਾ ਹੀ ਹੈ ਜਦੋਂ ਅਸੀਂ ਕੋਈ ਫਸਲ ਬੀਜਣੀ ਹੁੰਦੀ ਹੈ ਪਹਿਲਾਂ ਜ਼ਮੀਨ ਤਿਆਰ ਕਰਦੇ ਹਾਂ, ਫਿਰ ਉਸਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਬੀਜ ਡਾਲਦੇ ਹਾਂ, ਫਿਰ ਉਸਨੂੰ ਜਾ ਕੇ ਫਲ ਫਸਲ ਉੱਗਦੀ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਉਸਦੇ ਉੱਪਰ ਜਾ ਕੇ ਫਲ ਪੈਂਦਾ ਹੈ। ਇਸੇ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਜੋ ਅਸੀਂ ਰੋਜ਼ ਭਜਨ ਸਿਮਰਨ ਅਭਿਆਸ ਕਰਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਮਨ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਘੋਲ ਕਰਦੇ ਹਾਂ, ਇਹ ਅਸੀਂ ਆਪਣੀ ਜ਼ਮੀਨ ਤਿਆਰ ਕਰ ਰਹੇ ਹਾਂ।
We know that when we want to sow anything, first of all, we prepare the ground, we prepare the land for it, and after cultivating it, only then we sow the seed, and later on it sprouts out, and then we take care of it, and after some time, after a lot of time, when we keep taking care of it, we harvest it. In the same way, the daily meditation, simran, or whatever we are doing to prepare ourselves, it is like preparing the ground, and when the ground is prepared, then the seed of Naam which is within us that sprouts out and we harvest that nectar.
ਇਹ ਨਾ ਸੋਚੋ ਕਿ ਜੋ ਕੁਛ ਅਸੀਂ ਨਿਤ ਥੋੜਾ ਬਹੁਤਾ ਭਜਨ ਅਭਿਆਸ ਕਰਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਸਾਡਾ ਇਹ ਲੇਖੇ ਚ ਨਹੀਂ, ਜੋ ਕੁਛ ਵੀ ਸਾਸ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਸਿਮਰਨ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੋ ਉਹ ਤੁਹਾਡਾ ਲੇਖੇ ਚ ਹੈ। ਅਸੀਂ ਉਸ ਜਦੋਂ ਅਭਿਆਸ ਤੇ ਬਹਿੰਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਇੱਕ ਕਿਸਮ ਦਾ ਅਸੀਂ ਉਸ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦੇ ਬੂਹੇ ਤੇ ਬੈਠੇ ਹਾਂ। ਅਗਰ ਜੇ ਬੂਹਾ ਜੇ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਨਹੀਂ ਖੁੱਲਿਆ ਤਾਂ ਇਸਦਾ ਮਤਲਬ ਇਹ ਹੀ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਹਾਲਾਂਕਿ ਅਸੀਂ ਤਿਆਰ ਨਹੀਂ ਗਏ, ਔਰ ਲੇਕਿਨ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਉਹ ਬੂਹਾ ਛੱਡਣਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਚਾਹੀਦਾ, ਉਸ ਤੇ ਰੋਜ਼ ਰੋਜ਼ ਬੈਠਣਾ ਚਾਹੀਦਾ।
ਡੋਂਟ ਥਿੰਕ ਦੈਟ ਵਾਟ ਐਵਰ ਮੈਡੀਟੇਸ਼ਨ ਯੂ ਆਰ ਡੂਇੰਗ ਵੈਦਰ ਇਟ ਇਜ਼ ਲਿਟਲ ਆਰ ਮੋਰ ਦੈਟ ਇਜ਼ ਗੋਇੰਗ ਯੂਸਲੈਸ ਇਵਨ ਇਫ ਯੂ ਡੋਂਟ ਹੈਵ ਐਨੀ ਐਕਸਪੀਰੀਅੰਸ ਬਟ ਸਟਿਲ ਦ ਮੈਡੀਟੇਸ਼ਨ ਔਰ ਦ ਟਾਈਮ ਵਿਚ ਯੂ ਆਰ ਸਪੈਂਡਿੰਗ ਇਨ ਦ ਮੈਡੀਟੇਸ਼ਨ ਦੈਟ ਆਲ ਇਜ਼ ਕਾਉਂਟਡ ਇਨ ਦ ਡਿਵੋਸ਼ਨ ਇਫ ਆਫਟਰ ਵਰਕਿੰਗ ਸੋ ਹਾਰਡ ਐਂਡ ਆਫਟਰ ਮੈਡੀਟੇਟਿੰਗ ਅ ਲੋਟ ਸਟਿਲ ਵੀ ਡੋਂਟ ਹੈਵ ਦੀ ਐਕਸਪੀਰੀਅੰਸ ਔਰ ਦ ਡੋਰ ਇਜ਼ ਨਾਟ ਓਪਨ ਟੂ ਅਸ ਇਟ ਮੀਨਸ that we are not yet ready to enter the kingdom of Lord. But in that case also we should not leave the door of Lord, because if you will keep sitting there, definitely one day God will open his door to us. And whatever simran you do, Even if you do Simran Prabhupada, that also is counted. And God preserves our devotion, God preserves our meditation, and He will definitely give the fruit of it to us one day.
ਜਦੋਂ ਅਸੀਂ ਖੇਤੀ ਬੀਜਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਪਤਾ ਖੇਤੀ ਨੂੰ ਵਾੜ ਦੀ ਵੀ ਜ਼ਰੂਰਤ ਪੈਂਦੀ ਹੈ, ਉਸ ਨੂੰ ਪਾਣੀ ਵਗੈਰਾ ਦੀ ਵੀ ਜ਼ਰੂਰਤ ਪੈਂਦੀ ਹੈ। ਤੋ ਆਪ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਕਿ ਉਸ ਨੂੰ ਚੂਹੇ ਵਗੈਰਾ ਵੀ ਆ ਕੇ ਕੱਢਦੇ ਹੈ। ਕਿਸਾਨ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਖੇਤੀ ਨੂੰ ਬੀਜ ਕੇ ਬੇਖਬਰ ਨਹੀਂ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਗਾ, ਸਿਆਣਾ ਕਿਸਾਨ ਆਪਦੀ ਖੇਤੀ ਨੂੰ ਜਾ ਕੇ ਦੇਖਦਾ ਹੈ, ਅਗਰ ਚੂਹੇ ਵਗੈਰਾ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਤਾਂ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦਾ ਇੰਤਜ਼ਾਮ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ। ਇਸੇ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਅਗਰ ਅਸੀਂ ਭਜਨ ਅਭਿਆਸ ਕਰਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਤਾਂ ਚੂਹਾ ਸਾਡੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਕਾਲ ਪਾਵਰ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਨਿੱਤ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਬੁਰੇ ਪਾਸੇ ਲਾਉਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਭਜਨ ਤੋਂ ਹਟਾਉਂਦਾ ਹੈ। ਤੋ ਜਦੋਂ ਅਸੀਂ ਰੋਜ਼ ਭਜਨ ਅਭਿਆਸ ਕਰਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਕੋਈ ਬੇਖਬਰ ਨਹੀਂ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਗਾ, ਜਦੋਂ ਸਾਡਾ ਪ੍ਰੇਮ ਪਿਆਰ ਦੇਖਦਾ ਹੈ, ਬੇਵੱਸ ਦੇਖਦਾ ਹੈ, ਉਹਨੂੰ ਵੀ ਪਤਾ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਸਿੱਖੀ ਮੇਰੀ ਖੇਤੀ ਹੈ। ਉਹ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਚੂਹਾ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਾਲ, ਉਸਨੂੰ ਉਹ ਕੱਢ ਦਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ। ਸ਼ਬਦ ਸੁਣੇ ਤੇ ਦੂਰੋਂ ਭਾਗੇ, ਮਤ ਜਮ ਹਰ ਪਾਰੇ ਬੇਵਾਹ ਆਏ, ਸ਼ਬਦ ਦੀ ਤਾਕਤ ਦੇ ਅੱਗੇ ਕੋਈ ਚੀਜ਼ ਨਹੀਂ ਖੜਦੀ ਗੀ।
Now he said that when we sow the seeds, when we do the farming, after that we need to make one fence around the farming, around our field, to protect our crop from the other people. And moreover, later on if the insects come and bother and they start eating up the crop, we use something to protect our crop from that. And sometimes it happens that those who have done the farming and for those who know about it, they know that sometimes the mice get into the field and they destroy the crop a lot. Because the farmer is not careless after sowing the seeds, he always takes care of the field. That is why he comes there and he protects the crop from this mice also. And in that way he takes care of the crop and later on he harvests it. In the same way, the farming which Master is doing within us, the farming of Naam, he also doesn't become careless after sowing the seed of Naam within us. Because when the seed of Naam is sown within us and when it sprouts out, when we are growing in our devotion, then this mice and insects and all these things, they also come. What is the mouse which comes within us and destroys our meditation? That is the negative power. He is residing within us and that is why he always tries to destroy the crop, tries to destroy the Naam which we have within us. But this crop cannot be destroyed because Master is always looking at us. He doesn't become careless. He is also sitting within us. And when he sees that this mouse is giving us a very hard time and we are helpless in front of him and we do not have any way out, then Master himself helps us because he has to harvest this crop of Naam within us. That is why he doesn't become careless and he protects us, he helps us, and he always takes care of us from this negative power.
ਜਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਦਾਣੇ ਦਾਣੇ ਨਾਲ ਬੋਹਲ ਬਣ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਉਸ ਨੂੰ ਦੇਖ ਕੇ ਜ਼ਿਮੀਂਦਾਰ ਖੁਸ਼ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਮੇਰੇ ਬਹੁਤ ਸਾਰਾ ਸਟਾਕ ਹੈ। ਇਸੇ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਅਸੀਂ ਥੋੜਾ ਥੋੜਾ ਸਿਮਰਨ ਕਰਦੇ ਹਾਂ, ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਉਸ ਨੂੰ ਸਾਂਭ ਕੇ ਰੱਖਦਾ ਹੈ, ਜਿੱਦੇ ਉਹ ਮੁਨਾਸਬ ਸਮਝਦਾ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਪਰਦਾ ਖੋਲ ਦਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਸਾਰਾ ਬੋਹਲ ਸਾਰਾ ਜ਼ਖੀਰਾ ਉਸਦੇ ਹਵਾਲੇ ਕਰ ਦਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ। ਫਿਰ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਪਤਾ ਲੱਗਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਉਹ ਅਗਰ ਜੇ ਸਾਡਾ ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਇਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਸਾਡਾ ਸਿਮਰਨ ਭਜਨ ਅਭਿਆਸ ਸਾਂਭੀ ਰੱਖਦਾ ਸੀਗਾ ਤਾਂ ਅਸੀਂ ਕਿਉਂ ਨਾ ਜ਼ਿਆਦਾ ਸਾਰੇ ਹੋਰ ਵੀ ਸਟਾਕ ਕਰ ਲਿਆ। ਉਸ ਵੇਲੇ ਪਤਾ ਲੱਗਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਸਾਡਾ ਸਾਹ ਦਾ ਸਿਮਰਨ ਵੀ ਸਾਡੇ ਲਿਖੇ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਹੈ।
Now, collecting every single grain, it makes a big pile of the grain. And in the same way, the simran or the meditation which we are doing, even one repetition of the name is also counted, and Master preserves like the farmer preserves the grains. And when we are able to protect that by ourselves, then Master gives the wealth of our devotion, wealth of our meditation. And when we see that all the meditation and all the simran which we were doing was preserved and even one repetition was counted and it was preserved, then we wish that if we had done more, then it would have been much better. So the meaning of saying this thing is that whatever meditation you do or whatever, or no matter how much time you do the simran, that all is counted in your devotion, and when you will be able to protect your meditation by yourself, then Master will make you see that how much wealth you have.
No one in this world belongs to us except our dearly beloved Satguru. Sisdi Bhajan Apana Koi Nahin on page 137. Oh man, don't be saying mine, mine. There's no guarantee of breaths. Your life is as fragile as sugar candy thrown into water. Oh man, don't be so full of ego. Death is on your head. One day, you fool, you may even drown without water. You're wearing dust, you dress in dust, even your pillow is dust. One day, madman, your body will return to dust. As long as oil and wick are in the lamp, the light gets brighter and brighter. When both are finished, the dead body is carried to the graveyard. What is the use of stitching the old clothes again and again? No one is the friend of the heart. All have selfish motives. No one in this world belongs to us except our dearly beloved Satguru. Bhajan of Kabir Sahib on page 137.
Apna koi nahi hai ji, ki apna Satguru pyara ji.
Apna koi nahi hai ji, ki apna Satguru pyara ji.
Na kar bande meri, meri damda ki parvasa.
Na kar bande meri,
tera esa jesa pani bhi chapta sa apna koi nahi hai ji ki apna Satguru pyara ji apna koi nahi hai ji ki apna Satguru pyara ji.
Na
kar bande kudit kabar sir pe mota nimani.
Na kar bande kudit kabar sir pe mota nimani.
Dina pagale esa aaye tutu pipina pani
apna koi nahi hai ji ki apna Satguru pyara ji apna koi nahi apna Satguru pyara ji
mati ojana mati pahenna mati ka sirahana ji
mati ojana mati pahenna mati ka sirahana ji
Ekadina pagale esa aaye mati me mil jana ji.
Amen. अपना सतगुरु प्यारा जी, अपना कोई नहीं है जी, कि अपना सतगुरु प्यारा जी।
जब तक तेल दीप में बाती जगमग जगमग हो रही,
जब तक तेल दीप में बाती जगमग जगमग हो रही,
चल गए चेल निकुट गई बाजी लाश बिया को तो लाई,
अपना कोई नहीं है जी, कि अपना सतगुरु प्यारा जी, अपना कोई नहीं है जी, कि अपना सतगुरु प्यारा जी।
पाता चोला हुआ पुराना कब लग से बेहतर जी,
पाता चोला हुआ पुराना कब लग से बेहतर जी,
दिल का मेहरम कोई न मिलिया सब मतलब के कर जी,
अपना कोई नहीं है जी, कि अपना सतगुरु प्यारा जी, अपना कोई नहीं है जी, कि अपना सतगुरु प्यारा जी।
No one in this world belongs to us except our dearly beloved Satguru. May God bless us all.